When it comes to the lean executive recruiting landscape, staying ahead means staying informed. Subscribing to the Stiles Associates email list gives you access to the latest compensation data, industry analysis, and career resources straight from their recruiting team. Plus, you'll receive hand-picked career opportunities from leading companies, whether you're seeking new challenges or just curious about the market. So head over to leanexecs.com and sign up to get on the Stiles Associates email list and transform the way you make strategic decisions for your company and your career. Thanks for listening. Did you know I can help your organization on this journey of cultivating a culture of learning and innovation? I can be a trainer, coach, and advisor on topics including psychological safety, problem solving, and continuous improvement. I can add value to your management team meetings by speaking and facilitating discussions on these important topics. To learn more, visit markgraben.com or email me, mark@markgraben.com. Let's improve together.
Welcome to the Lean Blog Podcast. Visit our website at www.leanblog.org. Now, here's your host, Mark Graben.
Hi, this is Mark Graben. Welcome to episode 281 of the podcast. My guest today is Julie Furman. She is the Vice President and System Chief Nursing Officer, or CNO, at Southern Illinois Healthcare. We have the opportunity to chat about the lean transformation efforts at SIH, thanks to my partners at Catalysis, formerly known as the Theta Care Center for Healthcare Value, as they are presenting, once again, the annual Lean Healthcare Transformation Summit this year in Palm Springs, California, June 7th and 8th. Julie and I will both be there. I'll be doing a full-day pre-summit workshop called Better Metrics. I hope you'll come join us. And if you want a link to learn more about the summit, you can go to leanblog.org/281. So in today's episode, we talk about how lean has been helpful to nurses and other healthcare professionals, Julie's role as a nurse leader, and different ways patients and the health system have benefited from lean. Well, Julie, hi. Thank you for being our guest on the podcast today.
Well, good morning. And again, thank you for the opportunity to discuss a lean transformation from a nursing perspective.
Yeah, and I'm really excited we're talking about that today. Maybe first off, you know, before talking about the health system and your lean journey, can you introduce yourself, your professional background as a nurse and a nursing leader?
Yes, I am the Vice President and System CNO for Southern Illinois Healthcare. It's a position that I assumed in January of 2010. Prior to moving to Southern Illinois, I was a CNO with the Banner Health System, and I was in Loveland, Colorado. In my position, I have system responsibility for all of nursing, case management, perioperative services, and the patient experience. I earned my bachelor's degree from the College of St. Scholastica in Duluth, Minnesota. And after moving to Dallas, Texas, I earned my Master of Science from the University of Texas in Arlington. And then in 2015, I completed my DNP at American Sentinel University in Aurora, Colorado.
Well, and I am somewhat in the neighborhood of UT Arlington. I'm talking to you from suburban Fort Worth. So hopefully you enjoyed your time here in Texas.
I did enjoy my time in Texas. I liked it very much and hope someday to return.
We'll talk a little bit about Southern Illinois healthcare and the systems lean journey. Before we get into that, actually, like, I'm curious, you know, for your background as a nurse and CNO, if you can tell a little bit more about your personal story with lean, how did you get introduced to the concept? Maybe that does tie into the Southern Illinois healthcare story, but could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. In sort of a prior life, if you will, the first association I had with any lean thinking was in around 2005, and it was in an organization that used the GE change management model, which included the concepts of, you know, workouts to promote rapid cycle change. This organization also had engineers who use Six Sigma concepts to help make improvements and gain efficiencies. So I would tell you that that was probably my first introduction, although I don't think we called it lean at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if there was a heavy GE influence, and back in those days, they had not embraced lean the way they have here in more recent years, combining lean and Six Sigma and methodologies. So, I'm curious, you know, the background. Nurses have different backgrounds than, my background's engineering. I'm curious, what was some of your reaction to learning about, these ideas that are often framed as coming from manufacturing, companies like GE or Toyota? How did you kind of, how did you see the challenges and how that could, how the methods like that could help? I'm curious how you reacted to it.
So, first of all, it was really a pause to, think about how does this impact patient care where we're dealing with people and not widgets.
Right.
And one of the things that I really had to embrace and one of the things I try to get my team to embrace is it's not just one more thing. Rather, it's a new way to do work that improves the care we deliver to our patients. So the more that we can lean out our processes and eliminate waste and redundancy, the better it is for our patients, for our nurses, for our leaders. So that was how I, again, after hitting pause, that's really how I started to think about it.
Yeah, and that opportunity to hit pause is something that we don't often get a chance to get. Hospitals are, of course, very busy places with minute-by-minute demands for patient care. Can you talk a little bit, try to paint a picture for listeners who don't work in healthcare, listeners who don't know what it's like for nurses at the bedside? I mean, even thinking today at Southern Illinois Healthcare as part of your lean journey, what are some of the challenges that your nurses face on a daily basis?
Oh, I think that's a great question because it is a journey. Change doesn't happen overnight. So some of the challenges that we, come up against are time and competing initiatives. Healthcare is ever-changing, fast-paced, new changes, right around the corner all the time. So carving out the time and making sure that this is a priority in our daily work. Ensuring that our nurse managers have a really good understanding of the problem-solving process and that they're able to take it back to their teams and work through those problem-solving processes. Sustainment can be a challenge, as well as spread, how to share and apply those best lean practices. Mm-hmm. And then increasing staff participation in the problem-solving process can be a challenge as well.
Yeah, and those are those are definitely common challenges, and maybe we'll delve more into how you're addressing those. But how would you describe the overall Southern Illinois healthcare lean journey? Did that predate your arrival in 2010? What from your perspective, how has that how did that get initiated and take shape there at your system?
So it did not predate me. I would tell you in probably 2011, our CEO, Rex Budde, introduced the senior leadership team to the book On the Mend by John Toussaint. Mm-hmm. And as a team, we read the book and then we discussed the concepts and begin to visualize how this type of transformation might work in our organization. Our organization has a mission of improving the health and well-being of all the people in the communities we serve. So finding a better way to deliver safe, quality healthcare was really important to all of us. So we made several field trips visiting Gemba at other organizations, we braved the Wisconsin spring and flew into ThetaCare. And that was really our initial exposure. And we were intrigued. So we followed up with a visit to one of the BJC hospitals in St. Peter, Missouri. And then we were hooked. We knew that this was something we wanted to do. So to help us on our journey, we began to work with an organization, Next Level Partners, to help us, to help guide us on our journey. And so then they came in and they started by teaching our leaders and our staff about lean healthcare. But more importantly, they taught our leaders to teach others about lean healthcare. So, you know, kind of teach a man to fish.
Or and the women too.
Exactly. our first major step into lean was embracing and launching Lean Daily Management. And so we, as you know, as a senior team, kind of strategically decided where we would go up first with our lean boards, and we call them patient care improvement boards here at SIH. And I am proud to tell you that nursing led the way on this initiative. My team embraced it, and we were the first across the system. Nursing units were the first ones to put up their patient care improvement boards.
What do you think led to that enthusiasm or that spark for nursing to go first with this process?
You know, I think the opportunity to understand what the benefits could be if, you know, we started to, you know, look at our processes and, you know, standardize workflows. I don't know how many times you could walk up onto a nursing unit and hear the nurses, you know, complain. Not that nurses complain, but say how busy they are. Oh my gosh, I'm so busy. I have so much going on. So as a nursing leader, of course, you want to help them. And one of the best ways to help them is by helping them help themselves. And get involved in the process and start to define how they can shape their work so there is more time for them to spend with their patient at the bedside.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point there about, you know, freeing up time, being helpful. You used the expression, you know, it's not just one more thing to do. I was talking yesterday with some of the lean leaders from the Cleveland Clinic, and their physician leader for process improvement basically said that exact same phrase, that they are working to, as you said, engage all staff in problem solving and improvement. And, you know, I think it's difficult when, as you described, nurses are busy, leaders are busy, everybody's busy. There's this catch-22 of, you know, the time that it takes to go and eliminate some of that burden, eliminate some waste, that does take time that people might feel like they don't have at the very beginning. So did you have some strategies for even trying to get the ball rolling so people could see that that would be a good time investment, investing in improving process to free up time? Or did people say, oh, you know, we have no choice. things are challenging. We have to get better. What was some of the dynamic there?
So one of the things that I think really helped, you know, free up time, so to speak, was adopting leader standard work, which really provided the structure and helped leaders identify what their priorities were. And then the organization adopted what we called the no meeting zone. And so that was an opportunity for leaders for a designated time in the morning to be in their areas working with their teams on the problems that their teams are encountering every day and trying to make it better. So I think that was really important to helping us gain momentum and move all the processes forward.
Can you talk a little bit more about the Lean Daily Management process as you are practicing it for listeners who might not know other episodes in the podcast series, there's been a lot of talk on this topic the last couple of years. Episode 260, I interviewed Brad White, who's the author of a book called Lean Daily Management for Healthcare. Episode 249 was an interview with Steve Leischel, who's with the health system in Pennsylvania, writing about their daily management system. Episode 226 with Steve Heft and Dr. Bob Pryor kind of talks in part about their daily lean management system at the Scott and White Health System in Texas. So beyond what they're sharing, what Kim Barnes and Catalysis and the people from ThetaCare have shared, this has certainly been a hot topic the last couple of years. Can you give us a little bit more detail about your approach there, Julie, the boards and everything else that's involving, including, as you said, that leader standard work?
Yes, absolutely. So on a daily basis, we as leaders visit our GEMBA boards, and these are, again, our patient care improvement boards in each of our areas. And there are metrics on the boards that some the staff have identified as things that they want to work on. Some are in support of our strategic deployment process, and you know, some are our KPIs that, you know, we need to improve and keep it top of the mind awareness for everyone. So most boards have five measures that they're working on at any given time. Our leaders start their day with a startup huddle with each of their shifts, and we work 12-hour shifts, so there's two startup huddles a day, one at 7 a.m. and one at 7 p.m. And so then they set the team up for the day to so everybody understands, you know, what the initiatives are for the day and how we can all work together to make the team successful. And as they go about their day, you know, they collect information that goes on to the Paretos that are on the board, you know, capturing maybe why we're falling out in an area, and or if we've implemented a new SOP, is that SOP meeting the expectations that it was set out to? Daily they have what we call just do it huddles. And that's where they really do that deep dive into problem solving. They pick one of their metrics that they're really trying to work on, and they do a deep dive, and everybody gets involved in that problem solving process. Again, it's recorded on the board, so when the one-ups and the senior leaders come through for the daily GEMBA walk, they're able to speak to the improvement that they've been doing or what they've discovered, and they may even tell us as senior leaders what barriers they're running into and how we can help them better the process. Mm-hmm. So it's really organic. It changes every day. And at the end of the day, the visuals on the board really show everybody where we've been and where we're headed.
One other thing I want to maybe go back and touch on related to, you know, that daily improvement process. You mentioned visiting ThetaCare. I've been through their hospitals and seen their process. I'm less familiar with the details of what they've done at BJC, but I'm curious if you could think back to those visits. Was there anything in particular that was inspiring or stood out to you as something that prompted you and the team at Southern Illinois Healthcare to go down this journey? Were there particular things that stood out?
So one of the things that really stood out for me and the members of my team who were able to make the visit was their model cell area, for lack of a better thing to call it, but where they had, you know, created their perfect environment. And, you know, that was really stimulating for us, because there would be so many reasons positive to do that. And we have embraced that concept, you know, coupled with a Gemba visit. You mentioned the Cleveland Clinic earlier. We went to their Gemba visit last fall and looked at their model cells. And that coupled with our original visit to ThetaCare, we actually launched our first model cell here in Southern Illinois last fall. So the hope is standardize the processes and be able to spread that throughout the organization.
And, you know, I think it's helpful and inspiring to see where other organizations have been successful with these methods, and that they, people at ThetaCare in particular are really open about saying, you know, here are mistakes we made, here are the challenges we faced. This isn't easy, but it's worthwhile, right? What are some of your thoughts around that idea of, you know, learning along the way with the model cell and getting better at how you get better over time?
You're right. It isn't easy. It takes dedication, and it takes, you know, we have to, you know, keep going back, you know, looking at it. What can we tweak? What can we do better? And we have to be persistent. One of the things we've learned is if we're not persistent, the staff will think it's the flavor of the month, mm-hmm. and, you know, it will go away. So by being persistent, and then the other thing that we have found really helpful is to outline for them the wins that they have made. So we encourage our employees to put in suggestion slips on things that they would like to see improved, or how they would like to see them improved. And as we are able to, you know, meet the challenges that they've given us, then, you know, we put them up for everybody to see. Look what we did. Look what you did as a team. So, you know, to just keep it moving forward and keep them thinking about doing it, you know, better, not mm-hmm. perfect.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I think that continuous engagement of staff is important. Can you talk a little bit more about the role of metrics? You know, you mentioned from the standpoint of strategy deployment, so I'm sure, you know, the system is looking at high-level goals and things that need to be accomplished at the system level, and then you've got the department boards and the things that the teams are measuring or looking at. How do you see the impact of charting performance and having goals that you're working toward? How important is that?
You know, it is really important for us. It really makes the work you're doing more concrete, if you will. It allows people to see, okay, here's where we are, here's where we're going, and, you know, here's how we're going to get there.
Yeah.
And everybody has the same understanding when it's in metrics and it's in black and white. It's not open for interpretation. It is what it is, and so we have to, you know, meet our challenges and you know, get better.
Yeah, and I think it helps. From what I've seen, I think it helps avoid a trap where people are implementing lean tools for the sake of implementing tools, or because somebody said this is the tool we need to implement. I think when you're focused on goals and measures, that helps align people to around, as the Cleveland Clinic people put it the other day in their improvement model, what matters most, right? It's not about implementing X number of tools or training Y number of people. I mean, there are important things that a hospital needs to accomplish and that the people working there need to help accomplish, right?
I absolutely agree. And at the end of the day, there's a patient on the receiving end of all the good work that we're doing. And I always remind my staff that the patient that they care for could be, you know, their neighbor, their family member, uh-huh. You know, even a spouse. So we want our processes to be good because you never know who's going to be in that bed.
Yes. And, good processes, good systems a big part of what will lead to safety and quality improvement. I was really happy earlier, I was kind of looking at things I jotted down, phrases you used, that you emphasize the need to improve safety and quality and apply lean to those challenges, not just cost and efficiency and productivity and service. Can you talk a little bit more? Do you have some examples of lean being applied to improve patient safety, maybe staff safety, even improving quality within the realm of nursing care?
I do. I have several that I can share with you, but I have to tell you that since we started to capture and record our lean activities, we've conducted over 160 improvement events here at SIH. Mm-hmm. So we have done a lot of work. And so as it relates to, patient safety and gaining efficiency, one of our inpatient teams developed what we call a 3-in-10 process, where a patient who needs insulin receives it at the correct time, mm-hmm. which is just prior to their meal. So the process includes coordination of the glucometer check, the insulin dosing, and then the meal tray delivery to reduce the number of hypoglycemic events on a unit or across the system. And since we implemented the process, we had a great plan for spread, so it's all inpatient units system-wide are doing it, and we have seen a significant drop in the number of hypoglycemic events our patients are experiencing. Another one that I can speak to that, you talk about efficiencies and, streamlining process for patients. In our pre-anesthesia testing, we were able to redesign patient flow to save our patients time and steps in the process. A multidisciplinary team came together and worked on a process that allowed the patient to bypass registration and go directly to the pre-anesthesia testing area. And during that visit, then EKGs were done and labs were drawn to prevent these patients from having to make extra trips to those departments. Wow. So it has really improved the efficiencies for our patients, but we're able to get more patients through in a better amount of time just by concentrating on how we delivered that care.
Yeah, and I think what you said there, focusing on how the care is being delivered, so much more effective than just telling people, hey, try harder, do better, that lean provides a systematic way for leaders and staff to figure that out, right?
Absolutely, and one of the things that is so important and as we talk about, improving processes is making sure that those people who are doing the work are actually the ones who are redesigning the processes. That is really what is the what helps make it sustainable, mm-hmm. is that it's them deciding what works best, and it's not being pushed from the top down.
Yeah, and there's sort of, before lean, I think, there's often a long tradition of pushing ideas from top down or from outside consultants, or we did a site visit somewhere, so you need to copy what they did. That's a tough tradition to change, right?
Yeah, that is so true. I would tell you that, we started off slowly, and then as others realized, the success that was being realized with doing these improvement events, then it started to be sort of the popular thing to do, and now we have to have a committee that prioritizes the work that we're going to do, because we've only got so many resources, and there's a demand for them now.
So you shared some good examples of improving care at the bedside. Maybe we can step back and kind of think from your role as a nursing executive, as a health system executive. How do you describe the role that you play as the CNO in helping with this lean transformation?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. My role as the CNO is to guide, direct, and lead my team so we can achieve the objectives. I provide the tools that my team needs to accomplish their work, try to help them overcome barriers, and then I think most importantly is mentoring and developing my team members. I guess, in a nutshell, I set my team up to win.
Hmm. How do you interact with the other executives on the leadership team in terms of, you know, setting direction and leading these efforts?
We have a monthly meeting where we discuss the KPIs in our system, the ones that we as a team have identified are important to the success of our organization, along with those strategic initiatives that have been identified. So on a monthly basis, we get together and talk about, okay, here's what's going well, here's what's not going so well, and here's probably what we need to be able to move these initiatives forward. And how can we support each other in these processes? What do we need from each other to be successful as a team?
And what sort of do you have some examples of some of the discussion or kind of about prioritizing, for all of the different challenges that are facing healthcare today, is lean, do you think, in some ways, hopefully helpful for the executive team in terms of prioritizing and developing strategy at a high level?
I would say that it is. I think our strategic deployment process that we've adopted, it all flows. It's all aligned with all the way down to our lean daily management boards. We set our strategic initiatives, and then we set what our targets to improve are going to be for the year, and then create action plans around those targets. And the action plans, are those things that happen at the point of care or the point of impact, if you will. So that really does go down to where the patient is being cared for. That's where you start getting the staff involved in what we're trying to do as an organization from a strategic standpoint. And then it's measured by metrics on the board, which are then measured by, we have what we call a nursing dashboard, and then the nursing dashboard feeds into, the greater organizational dashboard that we review as senior leaders on a monthly basis. So it all fits together. It's all really seamless back and forth in my mind.
Looking ahead here in, for the rest almost into the second half of 2017. What are some of the big picture challenges within at least the American health system and some of the dynamics this year that you're facing there as a system?
Certainly one of the initiatives that the whole idea of providing the highest level quality care for our patients, balanced with the fact that reimbursement is shrinking a little bit, or a lot bit.
Yeah.
And so lean thinking really provides a platform for us to look at how we can deliver that care in a more cost-effective manner. And, you alluded earlier that, cost and saving money isn't always the end-all, be-all goal, but it certainly helps. So, the opportunity to, save some money and then, as a nonprofit organization, be able to reinvest in ourselves, mm-hmm. Is certainly helpful. And then, while we're improving our quality and hopefully having an impact on our patient experience, then we also build patient loyalty and have the opportunity to have the volume to also help offset some of the cost challenges that we're running into.
I mean, this all, I mean, you know, this is all supposed to go hand in hand where, you know, you said cost reduction. It's not the end all be all, but I think cost reduction is, you know, is demonstrated to be an end result of doing other things well, patient safety and quality, even though, you know, reimbursement models don't always align with rewarding quality. People are working on that problem, thankfully. You know, becoming a better place to work, you know, increases retention and lowers the cost of replacing employees who leave voluntarily. And then I think, you know, you touched on another point. You know, if patients are happier, outcomes are better. That can lead to market share and volume, is what I hear you saying.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we pride ourselves in being a leader in healthcare in our catchment area, and a lot of the reasons that we're able to make the gains that we are making is because we have good processes to support the patient care in our facilities.
What are some of your you know, sort of, you know, personal or within your nursing team immediate challenges or next steps or things that you're working on, you know, in the next month or near future?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because one of the things that we are working on as a greater nursing team that we're really excited about, I talked earlier about having one model cell in one of our hospitals. We are working on creating a model cell at our community hospital in Heron this year, as well as our medical group has embraced that concept, and they are working to create a model cell in the SIH medical group. So I think those are very exciting. And, you know, the vision is when we have model cells, you know, this will be the perfect place to onboard, you know, new employees and make sure that everybody's, you know, learning the same things the right way the first time.
Speaking of, you know, model cells, since you've mentioned that a couple of times, are there any kind of lessons that you've learned about going from an initial model cell or model line and then, you know, as you said earlier, trying to help share and spread what was learned there? Do you have any lessons learned or reflections on kind of that high-level process?
Yeah, so the spread, you know, I think spread is always kind of a challenge. And, you know, what we've learned is that if we invite others in our own organization to come and experience it, to see it, to learn about it, as opposed to just hearing about it, it has been really beneficial to us. And then what we like to do then is use our subject matter experts, those who did the original work, to help teach processes in the next unit, wherever we have deemed is going to go up.
That's good. That's great. And I think that there's a different model there than, as you were saying earlier, it's not just the top down, but it's the hey, everybody all at once. You're like, hey, we've got this best practice, whether it's you know, hourly rounding or something related to hand hygiene or central lines. Hey, here's the best practice. Everybody, organization-wide, go. And, you know, I'm curious, do you have any reflections on sort of that all-at-once top-down approach versus the results and benefits from a model line, engaging staff, spreading in a different way?
Yes. So doing a top-down approach is results were very scattered and very mixed. And we had difficulty making those kinds of changes stick, if you will. And so I take a step backwards and say you have to go slow to go fast. Mm-hmm. You know, a top-down approach, it may work for, you know, a matter of time, you know, while you're watching, it may work. But then when that's not, you know, the improvement that you're watching as closely, people have a tendency to slide back to their old ways. But if you can go slow and have the people who are actually doing the work involved, it really does help with spread and sustainment, because they see what's in it for them and they want to do it.
And I think that's tough for leaders when you say go slow to go fast. They'll say, well, we don't have time to go slow. But like you said, it ends up being more effective and more sustainable, which is the, I think it's not even just go fast, it's go slow to go better. And that's really counterintuitive to people, I think.
Yeah, that I like that. Go slow to go better. That's absolutely true. And it is counterintuitive. You know, we're in healthcare. We have things we need to do. We have to get things done. And usually we have to have things done, you know, quickly. But again, I go back to, it's a different way of thinking. And we have to start training our brains that if we want to make meaningful improvement stick, we can't afford not to take the time to do it right.
Well, great. Well, Julie, as we start to wrap up here, we do kind of a couple final questions. One, I guess, let me put you on the spot and ask you a question. You know, let's say if you're in front of a room of peers, CNOs, and let's say these CNOs had not heard anything about Lean, what would be, do you think, an elevator speech to sort of introduce the what, the why, the how of the Lean approach in healthcare?
So again, I would start by explaining that it's not just one more thing. It's a new way to do our work that improves the care we deliver to our patient. You know, in nursing, we have a tendency to perform some counterproductive behaviors, you know, such things as developing workarounds for processes that aren't working for us. So you have 10 people doing it 10 different ways. And for our nursing leaders, they often feel like they have to rush in and rescue or fix. So in a Lean environment, those who are closest to the bedside identify and work on solutions to the problems that they identify. And then a work unit can collectively deal with an issue and develop an SOP to help eliminate the workarounds. And as for the nurse leaders, I think it's really important that they see they're not the ones that have to expend all their energy trying to fix something. Instead, they empower the staff to do the work, and leaders empower or support them by removing obstacles and helping them be successful. So ultimately, I guess it's a solution the solution that's developed by those doing the work. I think I've said it before. Mm-hmm. It's more apt to be sustained because they're bought in. They have they have ownership if at the caregivers at the bedside are working on the problem.
Right. No, that's very good, and I think. Really important topics. It's surprising that even today, I think there are some health systems that are just getting started with Lean. So, you know, you mentioned ThetaCare, BJC as being inspirations for you. I'm sure there are other health systems now that Southern Illinois Healthcare has been at this for a few years could be, similarly inspired by what you're doing. So I appreciate you taking time today to share some of those reflections and giving back in that way and having an interesting discussion here today.
Again, I thank you for the opportunity. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Sure. Well, thank you. And it's nice talking to you. One last question. As I mentioned at the top of the podcast, our friends at Catalysis helped arrange the conversation today. Formerly known as ThetaCare Center for Healthcare Value. And they are, of course, running the annual Lean Healthcare Transformation Summit in June. Are you, I'm guessing you are, but I guess I'll ask you as a question, are you attending that this year, Julie?
Yes, I am attending, and Paul Pasia and I will be co-leading a session, especially for CNOs and nurse executives, and basically how a lean transformation impacts nursing. So I'm really looking forward to that opportunity, and I'm looking forward to meeting my colleagues and really having an exchange about, mm-hmm. you know, things that are going well and how we can learn from each other.
Yeah, and that's all great. And people also, you know, are pretty open about talking about challenges and working together to figure that out. So, you know, thank you for your contribution to that sharing and that discussion. Again, our guest today has been Julie Furman from Southern Illinois Healthcare. I'll let you have the last word. Do you have any sort of final thought you might want to share?
I would just like to tell everybody that remember, it's a journey. Mm-hmm. Change doesn't happen overnight, and persistence wins out at the end of the day. And again, thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah, thank you, Julie. Thanks for talking today.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Lean Blog Podcast. For lean news and commentary updated daily, visit www.leanblog.org. If you have any questions or comments about this podcast, email mark@leanpodcast@gmail.com.
Hey, podcast listeners. I'm excited to announce the release of the audiobook version of my new book, The Mistakes That Make Us, Cultivating a Culture of Learning and Innovation. Listen and dive into powerful insights on fostering growth through mistakes. Whether you're a leader, entrepreneur, or just trying to get better at learning from mistakes, this audiobook is for you. Get it now on Audible, Amazon, and Apple Books. Visit mistakesbook.com for more info.